Good morning and welcome to WPPA Sports Saturday, Saturday, May 2nd, 2020. No, I'm not Barbara Walters, but I'm here with my good buddy Ed Benishunas, and we've got to thank our financial benefactors, none bigger than CACL Financial, 1800 West Market Street in the city of Pottsville. Now,
on a St. Clair Port Carbon Highway with drive-through service available at CACL Financial.
They're always open at CACLFCU.org. Voted the number one lending institution for the past five consecutive years. Why is that? Because you won't find a better fiduciary relationship anywhere.
It's the month of May, Chaz Hepler. You know what that means?
What?
It's grilling season, and there's no better place for fresher meat for those hot irons of that grill than at BG's Value Markets. If their meat was any fresher...
Oh, you'd have to slap it.
Check out their four convenient locations for your grilling season needs in Jonestown, Millersburg, Pine Grove, and Minersville. It's BG's Value Markets. The aisles upon aisles of grocery shopping savings. And while you're at BG's, these are your favorite retail outlets. Don't forget Schuylkill County's oldest family-owned full-service dairy on the Tumbling Run Road. It's Gears Dairy.
Don't make them pour out the milk.
No, don't make them pour out that milk, as you got that dairy line from whole milk to skim milk. The orange juice to pump up that vitamin C on a Saturday morning. And don't forget the delicious iced tea and fruit drink products. Today, we're both enjoying Diet Green Tea here this morning as Gears Dairy, the official hydrator of WPPA Sports Saturday. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, doctor.
One heck of a show last week, my friend. Man, was John Kruk just stupendous.
A lot of feedback. A lot of people really enjoyed that, and that's good news to hear. He was a ball to interview, and hopefully, if some normalcy returns and baseball season gets back and we end up down there on our normal pilgrimage, maybe we can line up the Krucker to come over and see us and hang out for a little bit. It'd be nice to get to meet him in person and sit down and chew on the fat, so to speak.
A lot of people said they would like to see all three of us sitting around the mahogany bar or something, throwing back a few cold ones to see what would come out, because it almost seemed like it was a little unleashed a little in the interview last week. But we've got to say thank you to the Phillies and also Phillies Radio Network for hooking us up. Rob Brooks, our friend down there in the public relations office, getting the job done.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, maybe we'll have more of that to come as we see how this all works before they actually get back to work. Maybe we'll be able to talk to some other Philly talent and stuff like that. We didn't want to hog them all, so to speak, right off the bat. But hopefully we can get back in and talk with more of the guys that bring you the Phillies to either your radio or your television, you know, and those kind of things.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, Chaz. You know, we're going to talk a little bit later in the show today with our good friend, the sports editor at the Republican Herald, Leroy Boyer, and we're going to talk a little bit about local things and some of the things they have going on. Great step back articles that they've had featured in the local publication the last few weeks, making us remember what sports is like in real life, as you know, we've been living without it for quite a few weeks, months now.
And we did get to catch up with Leroy last night in order to make this possible, and Leroy was gracious enough with his time. And, well, I mean, think about it. We all have nothing but time right now. We're not covering any baseball. We're not covering softball. We're not covering track and field. We're lost, you know, quite literally lost. And it's allowed us to reconnect with people that we didn't know, meaning our family and our loved ones, that while we were on the road broadcasting, we didn't see a whole lot. I mean, we got to see them, but you know what I mean? So it's been kind of different for all of us in some way or another. I mean, I know you as a single married man, you know, your life's kind of footloose and fancy free.
Yeah, I don't have the luxury of throwing the mulch or, you know, some of the things that you've been taking care of the last few days. But
well, you know, and the funny thing is you make fun of me for planting lavender. Lavender is supposed to be very relaxing.
Oh, boy.
So when I'm at home, I want to be relaxed. So I planted lavender. You know, it was something that I couldn't get around to doing. And yes, did I mulch yesterday? Yes, I mulched yesterday.
Okay.
Four big scoops from our group. I wanted my property to be the all-star in my neighborhood. So
it's going to be.
TB Landscaping hooked me up. Well, I paid for it, but you know what I mean? So, yeah, I was tossing mulch around, and I was getting to some landscaping along one side of my house that I didn't get to, and you have been merciless in your critique, although you said you drove by, you looked at it, and it looked nice.
Yeah, but I've been merciless. Tell the listeners why I've been merciless, because we've been begging for the last 3 days to get a little bit of action in online and get some racing going. Rubbin is racing, and we haven't bumped and ground in a while.
Well, that's true, and I don't know when we'll return to that. Maybe.
Well, we'll be returning in a few days to live NASCAR action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that all works out. I mean, I've never thought that we'd hear NASCAR pulling off, what is it, 9 races in 7 days or something like that.
Yeah, it's something crazy. 7 races in 11 days or I don't know. It's going to be interesting, but it's going to set the stage of what they're going to face in Pocono, not just this year, but also let's not be afraid to talk about the monster or the horse in the room is, I mean, it's going to happen again next year probably for Pocono, yeah, with the Olympics being pushed back to 2021 now. And, yeah, I mean, as much as people want to say, well, you know, that's what they had to do to preserve two. No, they had to do that, a doubleheader at Pocono, because of the Olympic coverage. NBC is the Olympic television provider. They make millions upon billions of dollars off Olympic coverage. So, yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? Yeah, you're going to say to NASCAR, hey, figure it out. They figured it out, and they're going to probably have to do the same thing.
Yeah, but they're doing some races in miles, some in kilometers. I mean, come on. Really? Really? What, are you trying to be Formula One? You're stock car racing, for goodness sake.
Stock about a stock car.
All right, Harry. Anyway, Doc, we've got to get to Leroy. Our interview with Leroy. People are sick of hearing us talk.
Yeah, let's get our buddy Leroy Boyer dialed up on the telephone. We'll get him on the show next. It's all right here on 106 FM. Around the world, WPPARadio.com, Sports Saturday. If you missed us live,
don't forget to check out the podcast, Anchor.fm, Apple, Google, Spotify, all of the finest podcast outlets near you.
Does your bank come to mind when you think about the best things in your life? If not, consider a financial institution who has the experience in customer satisfaction. At CACL Financial, we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County for 5 years in a row. If you live, work, or worship in Schuylkill County, then CACL can help you with your financial needs. We have top quality products like free checking, lower fees, and better deposit rates than the competition. CACL Financial's goal is to deliver quality financial services to our members. Find out for yourself how it feels to work with a financial institution that's committed to helping you. Now, even more convenient with our newest location on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway, with easy in-and-out drive-through banking and a state-of-the-art ATM. CACL Financial, voted the best bank in Schuylkill County 5 years in a row. In Pottsville, and now on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway. Trust CACL Financial, committed to your customer satisfaction.
Gears Dairy on the Tumbling Run Road is the county's oldest full-service family-owned dairy. Gears prides themselves on their high standards and offers quality produced milk products as well as orange juice, fruit drinks, and their very own popular iced tea. Make Gears a name you invite into your home every day. Look for Gears products in your favorite supermarket or convenience store. Gears Dairy on the Tumbling Run Road, the county's oldest full-service family-owned dairy, always committed to excellence.
Good morning and welcome back to WPPA Sports Saturday. Joined on the telephone by the sports editor of the Republican Herald, Leroy Boyer. And Leroy, boy, this whole thing has our local area really stymied, this whole pandemic situation we're in. No crystal baseball this year, but you guys have been running some great features on some teams that did win some district or state championship games and those kind of things in the paper and living a little bit of yesteryear.
Yeah, I'd rather be out covering baseball or umpiring games today, but especially with the weather. I mean, this might be the best weekend weather we've had all spring so far, and I'm sure that the baseball and softball diamonds and track meets and stuff would be in high gear today. There'll be people, there would have been people all over the place covering games and officiating and watching kids play, but unfortunately the pandemic has put an end to that, so it's obviously changed the way we do things here at the newspaper, with no professional sports and no high school sports. We've had to adapt and come up with some different things. We got our all area teams in for the winter sports, and We've done some other features on some things, but the memory lane feature that we decided to come up with was an interesting thing. It turned into, basically, it was spurred by the 1970 St. Clair boys basketball team, because on the Friday that kind of the world ended for sports, St. Clair was going to have a reunion for that team at their school. And they had invited the whole team back, and I had already planned on doing a feature story on that squad and had gotten contact information on the guys and had set up photos and had done all my research. So when that was postponed, we decided we'd kind of kick off this series with that, and I wrote an additional story in the stuff that we get. Newspapers.com is a website that anybody can go on to. You must buy a subscription to it to print stuff out and to kind of look stuff up in detail. But you can search all the Republican Herald, the Republican Evening Herald, Shenandoah Herald, Shenandoah Evening Herald, newspapers from way back yonder up till today are on there. And we were able to use that as a tool for ourselves to be able to pull stories from back in the day. And we started with just kind of a look at teams that won state titles. And, you know, there was a lot of those. And then we got some reader and viewer suggestions of teams to look at. And we've kind of tried to make it balanced. We've kind of, tried to get an equal number of schools across the county and schools that aren't open anymore. Cardinal Brown, St. Clair, Shenandoah Catholic we featured the other day. Schools like that, trying to mix it up. And we're just about done with the winter sports. We've even mixed in some other stuff like the Stingers. I don't know if you remember the Stingers, the Pottsville Stingers.
Yep, yep.
1994, won the championship. Interesting story tomorrow in the paper. I'm sure that you guys as Phillies fans might remember the Bert Hooten game from 1977 in the NLCS at the Vet. Maybe not.
I was still in a crib. I might have only been a few months old.
Well, I was 7 years old and a baseball fan, but in that game, game three of the best of five NLCS, series tied at one, the Phillies fans in their, booing Santa Claus, throwing snowballs, et cetera, were at their peak performance that day. They booed, by chanting Hooten, as in Hooten and stuff. They basically fired this guy up. He couldn't get the ball over the plate in the second inning. I think he walked about five guys in a row until they took him out. And the fans were hooting at him and stuff. And the Phillies built a 4 or 5 run lead in that game, only to blow it. And the guy that got the win for the Dodgers that day he came on to pitch out of trouble in the bottom of the eighth inning was Lance Rotson from Blue Mountain, wow, who had been called up by the Dodgers that season. Had good numbers as a lefty specialist out of the bullpen. Pitched for the Dodgers the next season in both the NLCS and the World Series. And then got kind of released and traded, and his career kind of fell off the map after that. But for 77 and 78, he was pitching for the Dodgers in the World Series. So we have a story on that game for his win in tomorrow's paper. So it's been an interesting series. Got a lot of rave reviews on it. Didn't really think we'd have to continue it this long, but it's something that once the world does return to normal, we will continue on a weekly basis in some fashion.
Leroy, this morning I was caught off guard a little bit as a pop-up came on and asked me to vote for the area's best female and male athlete, and I don't recall something of sort in the last few years. Is this something new?
It is something new. It's something that I kind of wanted to do for probably 5, 6, 7, maybe longer years here at the paper. I actually wanted to do something along the line of like the Sears Cup or, the regional things that they do at the college level on a team perspective. But if you remember last year, we started this Athlete of the Week program, which was sponsored by Schuylkill Valley Sports. And we had an awards reception and last June in which we honored every Athlete of the Week and all of our all-area major award winners, like Players of the Year, Rookies of the Year, and so forth. Nice little hour-long ceremony. Kids got a nice certificate. There was a video collage of photos of all the honorees. So we decided to expand that for this year and include a male athlete and a female athlete of the year. Now, this was planned way before the world as we know it exists, you know, with no sports. So you kind of feel bad for the spring sport athletes who may have been a contender for this award, but, you know, won't get a shot because, you know, they didn't have any numbers or titles or, you know, numbers to put up or titles to win or records to achieve and so forth. We as a staff, I think the list was about 15 boys that we came up with and a little over 10 girls. I don't remember the exact number. We as a staff sliced it to 5 and 5. And we put that out on the, you know, there's a poll on RepublicanHeroes.com that you can go and vote. And you can only vote for, you can only vote one time per device. So I think you could probably vote, if you have a laptop and a phone, you could probably vote twice. I'm not totally sure about that, but I think it's once per device that you can get a vote on. We're going to leave that up for 2 weeks, and the fan vote will be a percentage of the overall vote. For the most part, it will probably serve as a pretty good tiebreaker because there's four of us, and if it ends in a tie, we would need a tiebreaker. You know, so the fan vote is going to be a key as to who we select. The poll will close at midnight on May 15th, and then what we're going to do, since we can't have our awards reception this year, we're going to produce a video that's basically going to be the awards reception. It'll be still me giving out the awards, honoring the Athletes of the Week. Pictures will be shown of those in the video. And at the end of the video, we will present those awards, similar to what you guys do with your football players of the year and your basketball players of the year. You would go to the school and present that. We're going to get together with the recipients, videotape that, and then splice it into the video. The video will go live at the same time the ceremony would actually be held, which would be June 15th at 7 o'clock. So you know, hopefully that you'll see more ads and stories as we get closer to that date. But it should be interesting. We had a guest speaker lined up as well. Not sure if the guest speaker is still going to do a video for it. I haven't really called him yet, so as far as that's concerned. But, you know, it was going to be a nice event, and hopefully, you know, next year we can make it even nicer.
Indeed. Now, that's pretty incredible stuff when you take a look at. And it must have been difficult to pare it down to just five because, you know, there were a lot of great kids that did a lot of great things over the entire course of this year that, boy, that has to be tough. It's probably even tougher than picking pigskin picks.
So you mentioned this, and here's your funny story of the day. Now, I think both of you know my mom. You know, she's a devoted listener to your program, too, by the way, and contacts me every time that my name comes up. Well, you know, your name was on the show again today. She also is a step-up-to-the-mic diehard listener. Well, you know, my phone rings at 10 o'clock today, and she says, hey, how's it going? And, you know, obviously in this time of need, you know, my message to you is if you have a mom, you know, you should check on your parents. You know, my mom lives by herself. She's in her 70s. So I do call her and talk to her every day. But our daily phone call started with, hey, I saw the poll today. How come so-and-so's not in there? How come I can't vote for him? Well, he didn't make the cut, Mom. So obviously you can understand that there are some people who probably wonder why this kid isn't in there and why this kid isn't in there. And honestly, I think it came down to the total body of work for some of these kids. I mean, if you look at the five males, the males were the toughest. And I think the females would have gotten tougher when you throw in Williams Valley softball players and, you know, some track athletes that, you know, would have won some great things this year. I think that would have gotten tougher. But for the male end, I mean, it's pretty tough when guys like Tyler Elsden, Kobe Brish, you know, Bronson Strauss, guys that were all on the list that didn't make that cut. And that's kind of amazing to think that, you know, those guys came up a little short. The five guys that are on there were two sport athletes and were very successful in both of the sports that they played, whether it was football, golf, Albie Evans is a golfer, basketball, wrestling, swimming. I don't think there's a boy swimmer in there, but Olivia Haas is a swimmer and a cross-country runner. She's in the girls list. So, I mean, it was really tough. I mean, we did a little vote, and the last couple spots were pretty tight. So,
I couldn't imagine.
It was tough.
It's not a job I would want, Leroy, but, you know, the man of sports that you are, how you holding up in this world without sports, and what are you doing to occupy your time?
You know, I sleep a lot, which is amazing because I usually, those who know me know that I never sleep. So I'm kind of tired of that, and pun intended. You know, the golf courses opened up yesterday. Hidden Valley Golf Course opens today. So you will find me at the golf course a lot. Not only do I work there part-time, but you will find me there smacking a white ball around and, you know, yelling obscenities at myself and getting exercise. You know, those are kind of things. But it's amazing the home improvements that I've been able to get done while I've had no time, you know, nothing to do. So, I mean, I think, you know, it's important, you know, that we each of us find something to keep ourselves occupied with while we're, quote unquote, you know, sheltering in place, staying inside. I haven't really stayed inside. I live across the street from Island Park in Schuylkill Haven. So my wife and my dog and I, and we go over there, you know, pretty much every day. Go for a nice walk. They have a nice path that goes all the way around and cuts kind of in between the softball and baseball field there. And it's good exercise for us. And we've gotten some improvements done to the house and the backyard and out front. And so some things that I probably would never have gotten done if the sports and so forth had continued on a regular basis.
Did you plant any lavender, though? That's the hot question.
Keep it up.
No lavender. No. Nope.
He's making fun of me because I've been doing projects like that.
Hydrangeas. They're the thing. We have four large hydrangea bushes in our yard. So we went out and we kind of, not pruned them, but kind of thinned them out. And they're all got nice big green buds on them. No colorful flowers yet, but they're doing well.
You know, Leroy, you talked about it a little bit, how difficult things would have been with the spring sport athletes in that mix for player of the year or sports person of the year. But think about what might have been. I mean, how would the Crystal Baseball have predicted this year? And we never got a chance to find out who would be tops in the Schuylkill League in baseball and softball and, you know, who's making the run to the state championship this year.
Yeah, and I think in all three spring sports, if you include track, you're just thinking Olivia Haas in that female athlete list. I mean, she was a state medalist last year as a freshman. And there was some other, like, distance runners, the McCormick girl from North Schuylkill. Tamaqua had some kids. And there was a lot of track athletes that would have made it to district gold, district silver, made it to states, maybe be placed in the top eight. So there's those kids that you feel sorry for because track is an individual sport for the most part. And it's a chance to really show, you know, hard work pays off to the fullest extent when you have an individual sport like track, cross country, swimming, wrestling. So those are the athletes who you kind of feel for the most because they've devoted all that energy and time into that sport. In the team environment, you really have to feel sad for the Williams Valley softball team because I think I don't know if we're going to beat them this year. I really don't. They had almost their entire team back from last year. They've made it to the state finals the last 4 years, I think. They've won it two times in that span. They won it last year. Pine Grove won it last year. On the same day. We had two state softball champions on the same day. So Williams Valley would have definitely been favored to get back to state college. And actually, as Bob Lipsky pointed out last week or so in one of the columns he wrote, District 11 single A would have got two teams into the state tournament this year. And you guys remember when District 11 got like three basketball teams in single A and like the final four in the East were all three Schuylkill League teams in Lourdes, you know, and that's usually how it shaped up. So, you know, it would have been a chance for possibly a nativity or somebody else to get pretty far in that state tournament in softball. Baseball was going to be very interesting. There was some very talented teams in the Schuylkill League this year. Division II, you could have put all five of those teams in a hat and picked one, and you would have had a good chance of being right. I mean, I think, you know, Schuylkill Haven was loaded. They had eight seniors coming back. They did it. They had all their pitching back from last year, a team that won the district title, made it to the second round of state playoffs. Williams Valley had almost everybody back. Tri-Valley has a talented club. Tri-Valley's young. Tri-Valley may benefit. Williams Valley and Tri-Valley are both young. So next year they'll be, you know, physically bigger, stronger, faster, and still have another year left. Schuylkill Haven graduates eight seniors off that team that, you know, obviously didn't get a chance to play this year. So they might be down. But Minersville had an ace pitcher in Dominic Pizzico. Nativity had a talented club. In Division I, some of the powerhouses will be rebuilding. Tamaqua and North Schuylkill were probably the two teams to watch in Division One. North Schuylkill, you know, Jake Green, Zach Chawansky, kids like that that were coming back. And I think, you know, Coach Nick Brayford, love the guy. He's a great coach, a great person. He, in his email to me after baseball was shut down and the story that I put together, really got a little sentimental because of the Jaden Ivey situation. And, you know, Jaden probably wouldn't be able to play this year, but he would have been there. And, you know, there were several teams, Northwestern Lehigh, Notre Dame Green Pond, that had planned to honor him when North Schuylkill played them and got a little tribute to them. So we didn't get to see that. And I think that's some of the things that, you know, besides wins and losses that we miss out on. You know, we miss out on, you know, when kids do great things. And that's why we cover high school sports.
Indeed. I don't know if you saw the plan that was proposed for the Ohio State Interscholastic Athletic Association, where their plan is to move baseball, all the spring sports from this year to the fall, and take the fall sports and move them to the spring. So they would be playing football in March and April, and baseball and softball in the end of August and September.
Wow, that's a little radical. Not sure how that would work with everything else that goes on, but it's an interesting proposal. You know, I'm worried at this point, you know, for the fall sports now, only because I think our area is fine. I think, you know, I think Schuylkill County itself, you know, come June into July, we will be fine. I don't think the numbers are really high around here. I think we're in an area, although we're grouped with the Philly area for some reason, in this color-coding thing by the governor that doesn't make any sense. You know, and we're not, you know, we're not gonna get some help is what I'm getting at for the governor. But I think our county would be fine when we get to the fall. It's the other areas, you know, this new football league has us in the Colonial League together and all the Allentown schools, and you don't really know what you're getting into there. And the travel, you know, they're talking in professional sports of limiting travel. Well, here, you know, new football league first year was going to be this fall, and there's going to be a lot of travel involved. So, you know, I know it's different from airports to cars, but, you know, that has to be factored in. So, you know, we can theorize everything we want to. We're just going to have to wait and see what happens. Adapt to whatever it does.
Yeah, we could be spending a fall without sports, too, as sad as it is to talk about. You know, I mean, you have some colleges now. I mean, I know there was one, University of Cal at Fullerton or something. They've already come out and said, you know what, we're done. We're going to remote learning for our fall semester. If that happens, I mean, you get into some, you know, oh boy, you know, that's a lot of money. I mean, think about losing March Madness, and then think about losing the cash cow for most colleges and universities are football and basketball, you know, I mean, in those big basketball schools. So it's going to be interesting to see the way that the cards fall, for lack of better terms. I know Purdue has come out late in the week here and had said, hey, June 1st, we're getting back to football. We're going to get the football camp going and make that time up that we missed in the spring. The Big Ten hasn't stepped out and says, no, you can't. So it's going to be interesting to see what will shake out here. And can you imagine, though, the economic impact? Just like I said, losing March Madness, all them, you know, gambling and sports bet books that we are able to do now on your telephone and stuff. How much did they lose?
I'm sure the economic hit the sports world has generated has trickled down to every level. I mean, just think about the people in Williamsport who thrive and wait every year for all those thousands of people to come in for Little League World Series games. Bristol, Connecticut for the East Regional and the Little League level, and all those other tournaments that they're Little League International President Stephen Keener talked about yesterday. You know, there's certain communities that their livelihood and their economy depends on that one event every year. I mean, you know, you and I are all three of us are firemen, and we know how important it is when you have your major fundraiser, like the, you know, the Englewood Block Party, for example. You know, how much money that brings into your fire company every year. And if you can't have that fundraiser, then what? You know, so you have to come up with different ways of raising money. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of communities, and I mean, just just think at our high school level, how much athletic budget-wise depends on football.
And
if there's no football season, there'll be some schools, I mean, there's some schools already that are bankrupt, but there'll be some more schools that are bankrupt have no money to do much of anything. And that would be really sad.
What an economic hit that the Williamsport area took over the last week. I mean, they lost the Crosscutters earlier in the week, and now they're losing that Little League World Series. And I mean, that's an economic hit. I mean, just 60 miles north of us, I mean, they're taking that smack, and it's going to be rough. It's going to be tough, but it's also weird too. I don't know I'm not much of one of those sports entertainment guys that watch that wrestling stuff or anything, but I did flip through the channels the other night and actually stopped on it because they are wrestling. I'm like, oh, is this live or, recorded or what? And it was live, I guess, somewhere in a training facility in Orlando, Florida, and there's no fans there. And it's like sort of weird. I can't imagine a football game, baseball game, and all that stuff going without fans in the stands. It will be something to get used to. Take some time to get used to.
Can you imagine going to a Penn State game with no fans?
It'd be no fun.
It would be definitely no fun. That's the thing, I mean, I'm not one of these super panicked persons. I have my own theories. I don't need to share them with everybody else. But I think that the world could return to normal in the near future. I can't see us all being still shut down with nothing open 5 months from now. So I think, I'm sure the schools and the professional sports all have these theories. There are some areas of our country that are worse than others. And the COVID-19 is a serious thing. I'm not downgrading that. But there are areas that aren't. And those areas that aren't need to get back to normal and let life resume. And I think our area is one of those areas. Just drive around. Drive around in the evening. There's people out. I mean, we work here in downtown Pottsville, guys. It's May. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
The people, they didn't hide. They're still out walking around. I'm saying, I just think, hopefully the sports world returns, and it returns in the near future, because right now, your business and our business, this kind of stinks.
Yeah, it does. It certainly has left gaping holes in the schedule for our lives. But, Leroy, it'll be interesting to see how NASCAR works as one of the first to go back to live action, so to speak, instead of the iRacing stuff that they're doing right now here in a couple weeks without fans in attendance, and the way they're going to handle garages and teams and crews and all those kind of things.
I think the big winner in all that is Pocono, because Pocono was supposed to be the first doubleheader, and having all these races in a short span of time will get all the bugs out that hopefully Pocono can take and use to get that off. And by then, you would hope that, there's fans in the stands, or at least a limited number of them. But just having all those people there, the teams there, they got to stay somewhere. So the economy level, the Poconos, and the people who work at the track. I mean, I have relatives who work at the track, and they're, we're really excited to be able to do this doubleheader thing this year. And hopefully that still goes off. But a story in the paper today, I'm sure you guys saw it, NASCAR needs to get it right. They're the first ones, so they're batting leadoff. So if they screw it up, they'll set it back for baseball and, the NFL and NHL and NBA. We have no idea if they're going to come back or not. But NASCAR needs to get it right. They need to make sure that all the safety precautions are in the right places and certain social distancing is followed. And they're going to start in Darlington with no fans. Honestly, if you watch some of the NASCAR races, it looks like sometimes there's no fans in the stands. But, in the past year, though, NASCAR's attendance has been high. So, it was kind of bouncing back a little bit. So hopefully, by Pocono in June, by July, Indianapolis is looking to race with fans in July. So
I know
we're hoping.
I know yesterday on the local television media, they brought up about the NASCAR returning, and they did have a comment from Pocono Raceway that says, everything's a green flag as of right now for the doubleheader at the end of June. So that meaning, they plan on having fans there. I know my wife, being the avid sports fan just as much as all of us are, she was able to catch professional bull riding live last weekend. And actually, if you went to their social media site, they actually gave you a behind-the-scenes look on how they were handling everything. And they are taking the bull riders, and they would they had them staying at an arena. And they were quarantined at the arena where, I mean, each bull rider and, you know, the wife, the respective teammate or whatever was quarantined to their own trailer. And then they would come out, they would go through, get tested with a thermometer, forehead testing, and then they would work their way through, get a mask, all this, and then work their way out. And, I mean, they went back to their quarantine until they were called out to do the bull ride. And when they are like one or two riders away, that's when they are brought out of the trailer, which was, you know, in a large parking lot. They were all separated, brought down into the arena, and then they rode, you know what I mean, the bull. But everybody was tested, and it was kind of unique the way that, you know, I mean, I was thinking, I didn't think that they were testing their foreheads, their temperatures, and stuff like that. And I'm sure NASCAR is going to have to take the same thing where, you know what I mean, a tire changer and the tire carrier aren't 6 feet apart.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone to a couple places where there's a guy standing at the door with the thermometer thing. And kind of point at you, and you can go. You know, so why can't they do that? You know, and if, I don't know if it was Walmart or a grocery store, or so I went somewhere, and there was two people standing there with those thermometers, like guns, like a radar gun. Stop, sir. All right, you're good. You know, why can't, I mean, as long as they check everybody in like that, you can't take those guys' temperature after they just changed tires and did a pit stop. That ain't going to work. It's going to be hot.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I've read a lot and looked at a lot of things as far as the COVID-19 and the handling of it and the reaction to it and, you know, when things can open and what one doctor says and what another doctor says. And it's not really consistent across the board. So hopefully the people who make the right decision will make the decisions for us and for our area and for our schools and for our professional sports. I hope they make the right decision, and I hope they make it. That everything is back to normal in the near future. So,
yeah, indeed, because I'll tell you what, we're running out of things to say. You're running out of things to write. And, you know, we've got to figure it out here shortly. So, you know, like you said, not only so things can get back to normal, but so people can feel normal again. I think that's what people are looking for, just to feel normal again.
Well, you know, I'm sure there are people who have followed this to the letter of the law. You know, they don't go anywhere. They're home every day. You know, they get somebody to go to the grocery store for them or whatever. And then there are people who are the exact opposite. And I'm kind of in the middle, but I don't stay home every day. I still have to go to work at the newspaper. I still work in Pottsville. So while there are people here at the newspaper that are working from home, and there are people, you know, they took our sports office and left two of us there and moved the other two guys across the building to a different room to space us out, you know, stuff like that. I mean, I still have to get out and do my thing a little bit. So I'm not one of those that's been inside, but I'm sure that the people that are inside, once they get out, they're going to need, you know, get back to normal. And hopefully there's not that fear that, you know, goes with something like this, that people are afraid of them, and that they go and do things like they normally did before.
I forgot to tell you, Leroy, in case you didn't hear, Jerry got himself a little lamb in Dallas.
Yeah, he did. That's good. Actually, I know I'm a big Dallas fan. I do give the Cowboys kudos because I thought they had right up there among the best drafts of the NFL draft. I thought they did a great job. You know, hopefully the center the Eagles gave them in like the third or fourth round pans out. You know, maybe not, maybe he does. Because that was one of the worst trades you made all day. I'm not disappointed with the Eagles draft. I think, you know, they drafted a wide receiver. It takes two to tango, and Atlanta didn't want to make that trade because they didn't want to come back to 21, and the guy they wanted would have went at 19 to the Raiders. So they would have screwed themselves by making that trade with the Eagles, and they didn't have the picks to give up either, and the Falcons were really the only one that, you know, if I was the Eagles, I actually would have traded back. I would have traded down in the draft still would have got Rager 27, 28, 29. Could have got some additional picks in the early third round, but they could have got some better prospects. But, you know.
I'm a little confused by the Eagles draft, though, Leroy. It was labeled Wentzylvania on T-shirts. Why did you get Jalen Hurts?
Well, 17-game NFL season now, guys. You got to remember that. You think Carson Wentz is – you think – I almost look at it like a pitching perspective. You know, do you want Wentz going out there every game? Do you want him playing every down, every game?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of people probably say, oh, here goes, you know, Belly with his anti-Eagle sentiment and all that stuff. I don't know if you can put Carson Wentz out there for a whole season. Yeah, I mean, just look at it. I mean,
every quarterback's like that, though. I mean, every quarterback, when he takes off out of the pocket, risks getting absolutely creamed, blindsided by a linebacker, and never getting up. I mean, seriously. And there are tougher guys in the NFL than others. And Wentz has had an injury history. He's still one of the most talented quarterbacks in the NFL. And at his peak performance, the Eagles will win with him, and they'll win a lot with him. But it's proven that you need depth. Every team needs depth at every position. And I don't think it's more of a jab against Wentz. I think it's more of a dislike, non-trust factor in Nate Sudfeld, who's going to be the backup, that they don't feel he's good enough, that should something happen to Wentz, that he can run the team. So I think, you know, getting three quarterbacks, you know, adding Hurts, who's going to have to learn? I mean, he's not going to be able to come in there and dominate like, you know, some of the other guys that were first-round picks. I mean, so I'm not displeased with that draft pick. I'm not. The only thing I don't like about the Eagles taking Jalen Hurts at 53 is I just thought there were some better players on the board at that point that could have helped the Eagles in some different areas, linebacker per se, defensive back per se. That if they would have traded back in the first round and got themselves an early pick in the third round from somebody, that they could have took Hurts there. I mean, I understand their theory that they didn't think Hurts would get to the third round. He's a guy they really wanted, and they passed up on Russell Wilson and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay. But, you know, if they would have traded back in the first round and gotten themselves an extra late second-round pick or, you know, early third-round pick, then, you know, and taken a linebacker in the second round and Hurts in the third round, no one would have cared. So.
Yeah, I guess the only remaining question is how long does it take Bill Belichick to become the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
He's the next one to be traded there.
The best cartoon I saw was Julian Edelman looking out a window at Gronk and Tom Brady dancing down the street.
I just can't believe that. You know what I mean? I don't know. Did Gronk really hate the Patriots in New England or what? You know what I mean? He retires. He leaves. He starts a professional wrestling career or whatever he was in. Was he in wrestling or was it that other thing?
He tried it for a
MMA or something.
You know, he was on The Masked Singer, wasn't he? Wasn't he on The Masked Singer too?
Yeah. I have a feeling somebody tried to curb him a little bit and he was having none of it.
Yeah. Tried to pull back on the attitude or the ego.
Yep. I think somebody tried to put a leash on him.
Well, they tried to trade him, and he vetoed it before he retired. I think they tried to trade him to the Falcons or somebody, or the Lions, and he vetoed it. And then the next year he retired.
So there you have it.
There you have it. That'll explain it.
Well, Leroy.
That was in one of the stories you saw.
We appreciate you taking time and joining us here and talking all things sports and locally. And, you know, we're happy to help push that poll a little bit. I know I already voted, so I don't know. I have to find another device, I guess.
I'll be interested. I was told when I got to work on Friday, I haven't looked yet today, that the numbers were outstanding because they had issues with the poll in the middle of the afternoon. It didn't quite crash, but I guess it kind of did. So, I got a few text messages that that people were trying to vote and couldn't. So I know they rectified that situation last night, but I haven't looked on there yet today. There was a lot of votes, and I hope there is a lot of votes. That's good. Give people something to look at, and I'll share it on Facebook and get all your relatives and friends, to, you know, business cohorts, you know, to vote for whoever you like, and it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out.
Well, Leroy, you got to roll some dough for that pot pie dinner down at the Liberty Fire Company in Schuylkill Haven. Stop on by.
2 o'clock, baby. Drive-through only, quartz only.
There you go. And help the hometown heroes out of the Liberty Fire Company and get some delicious chicken pot pie. I've had it once. I may have to make a ride.
Get there early, buddy.
There you have it. All right, Leroy.
Like those wings.
We'll talk to you again, Leroy. Hopefully we'll see you at a football field in a few months.
Yeah, I agree.
Amen. All right, Doc. Well, we'll take a time out here on Sports Saturday. Come back and wrap up the program. You're listening to WPPA Sports Saturday on AM 1360, 106 FM, worldwide at WPPARadio.com.
Don't forget, if you missed the show, get the podcast. Anchor.fm, our host site. You can also pick us up on Apple, Google, and also Spotify podcast sites.
Does your bank come to mind when you think about the best things in your life? If not, consider a financial institution who has the experience in customer satisfaction. At CACL Financial, we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County for 5 years in a row. If you live, work, or worship in Schuylkill County, then CACL can help you with your financial needs. We have top quality products like free checking, lower fees, and better deposit rates than the competition. CACL Financial's goal is to deliver quality financial services to our members. Find out for yourself how it feels to work with a financial institution that's committed to helping you. Now, even more convenient with our newest location on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway with easy in-and-out drive-through banking and a state-of-the-art ATM. CACL Financial, voted the best bank in Schuylkill County 5 years in a row. In Pottsville and now on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway. Trust CACL Financial, committed to your customer satisfaction.
Sands Ford of Pottsville, Route 61 South, reminds you that their parts service and quick lane business is still open to service our customers. Visit sandsfordofpottsville.com or call 877-675-4134 for service. We're all in this together. Please stay safe from your friends at Sands Ford of Pottsville.
Welcome back to WPPA Sports Saturday. It's great catching up with Leroy Boyer and finding out exactly what he's been up to, and I know we've all been following along with the articles that they've been writing about the teams in the days gone by and all our local athletes. And that poll, what a great addition to the whole thing. I mean, he talked about it. We get to give out our football accolades every year, and you know that's always a fight between all of us.
Yeah, can you imagine if we would add the fans into our fight amongst who gets the player, the defensive player, the lineman, the team, the coach?
Don't give them any ideas.
Oh, I think it's a great idea.
And maybe I don't mean the listeners, I mean the boss.
It might be a good idea for the boss to do something and look at doing that to our WPPA T102 players, teams of the year the gridiron action. But hey, you know what I mean, I'm just a peon here that shows up on a Saturday morning and spins some tunes and talks some sports, and I don't have much pull. But hey, if you're listening out there, boss man, maybe we ought to want to think about that. That'd expand things out a little bit.
That would be one way to certainly expand that whole process, you know. Yeah. Maybe have us, just after we narrow our votes down, then post that up and then include that as one vote maybe out of all of us.
Watched for coming late 2020 to
2021. No, it would be 2020. Hopefully,
yeah, buddy,
2020.
Come on.
Oh gosh, I hope football season plays in 2020.
Oh, so do I. I'm not sure. I mean, I do like the idea of what Ohio did plan there. I know Leroy was a little caught off guard, I think, with the Ohio Athletic Association talking about doing the baseball and spring sports in the fall and the fall sports in the spring. Well, I don't mind that. Well, I think that might be pretty cool.
The way I look at it is, you know, and this isn't a knock on any sports. I mean, I'm a baseball purist at heart, but it's a way to put the things that incorporate social distancing already. I mean, your outfielders aren't standing right next to each other all the time. Your infielders aren't. Yeah, the batter, the catcher, and the umpire are going to be a little closer. But, you know, when you take a look at it, it may be the way that it doesn't generate the amount of fans for the regular season anyhow. to keep people apart.
Yeah, it would keep people apart. Yeah, I mean, and then when we get into that spring season, hopefully everything falls into place like they talk about with the, you know, some things and, you know, this and that and this working in the lab and that working in the lab all works out. And then we can fit 5,000 people in the stands for a football game in the spring. And, I mean, it could be something a little different. We have to approach this open-mindedly, Charles.
Well, we're going to have to maybe reach out to Dr. Lombardi and see if Pennsylvania is thinking this direction or what they're thinking. I mean, I know a lot of people have all sorts of, like Leroy said, different doctors have different opinions on what's going to happen and how it's all going to fit together. But it'll be interesting to see what approach they do take here in Pennsylvania. I mean, it's interesting right now to watch how they're going to handle graduations. You know, I mean, there's been a lot of different...
How are we going to handle it there, sir? Well, you're one of those ones that might have an answer.
I don't. Not right now. But, you know, I mean, when you look at these things and getting large numbers of people together and, you know, what's the best way? I mean, you know, your heart breaks for the kids that are graduating and losing their senior season. And on the other hand, when you take a look at it and you take a look at kids that are in their junior year of athletics...
This was a recruiting time.
This was their recruiting season. This is the season where most of the people come from the college level to see them in some respects, either at high school games or at travel games, and all of that has been a wash. You know, you look at that junior class and you say, well, even the senior class, you have kids bumping into programs now where division or NCAA has said, you know, the kids with senior eligibility would have the eligibility next year. What's that going to do for the kids that are in the queue right now to make it to different programs? So, I mean, it's a whole new world, but of course we face it and try and make the best of it that we can.
I know one thing is if you're looking to move out of the red, which they have three different zones or three different tiers set up, a red, a green, a yellow, and a green. Yellow, that's your next step. Organized sports are not allowed in the yellow. I'm telling you that right now. I know that. I've seen that yesterday evening when they started announcing what the 24 counties are going to be allowed to reopen on like May 8th or something like that. That in those yellows, organized sports are still not permitted in the state of Pennsylvania. So, you know what I mean? Even if we get to the yellow in June, it's still not permitted until we get to that green mark. And until we get that green light, that's what you need. You've got to get the green light. You can't have any setbacks, because if you have a setback and you go back up to the red, which you don't want to do, it's kind of, you know, I mean, the spot you're back to square
it's
one.
It's a self-defeating situation you're in.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and you look at Schuylkill County over the last few days, Chaz, they went from 7, 6, 5, 6, 7, 25, and then back to 7, and then today's numbers will be announced at 12 noon again. So, you know what I mean? It's been bouncing all over the board. Thursday, I think, was a real tough one where we took our highest one-day total jump up to 25 new cases.
Well, being that you're the bearer of good news... Yeah, okay. Time to wrap up the program and thank all of our fine benefactors, none greater than CACL Financial, located at 1800 West Market Street or
on the St. Clair Port Carbon Highway with full drive-through services at CACL Financial. And tell me where I can find them online.
Well, they're always open at CACLFCU.org. Voted the number one lending institution for the past 5 years. Why is that? It's because you won't find a better fiduciary relationship anywhere.
Month of May starts grilling season, and there's no better stop for things on your hot irons of the grill than at BG's Value Markets. Four locations for your shopping experience. Check them out: Jonestown, Millersburg, Pine Grove, Minersville. You want the freshest meat for the hottest irons of that grill here in the month of May and the summer months? You've got to stop at BG's Value Markets. If their meat was any fresher,
you'd have to slap it.
And while you're at BG's or your favorite retail location, check out Schuylkill County's oldest family-owned full-service dairy on the Tumbling Run Road and the official hydrator of WPPA Sports Saturday, Gears Dairy. Don't forget the dairy line from whole milk to skim milk, the orange juice to kick off your Saturday morning just right with a punch of vitamin C and the delicious iced tea and fruit drink products. I'll tell you what, the Diet Green Tea today, Chaz, kept me hydrated throughout the program.
Certainly was delicious, that's for sure. The Saturday Morning Oldie Show is coming up next here on WPPA. Don't forget, catch the podcast if you missed the show. It's always great to listen back to John Kruk. You're listening to WPPA Pottsville and translator W290 DP Pottsville.